This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the Hull Show, powered by Chevron. Absolutely thrilled to have this next guest on the program. Longtime ESPN reporter for covering the NFL. I think he's going on his 26th year. UNC grad, by the way. Ed Werder joining us on our First Advantage Hotline. Ed, thank you so much for giving us some time today, my friend.
Is that a virtual standing ovation?
They are pumped for you, my friend. They are. Very they were good. Like, Ed's coming on the show. Yeah, they were ready. They were here at like 6 in the morning, this live studio audience.
Just amazing. But we certainly appreciate their dedication.
Yes, they're good. They're okay at what they do. But they stepped up there in that moment. Ed, I saw the prime time going off in the press conference thing. I didn't know that was directed at you for a while, and then I started to see it on social media, and I was like, Ed Werder? I mean, you always are just this professional, amazing journalist. I've followed you for years, well before we had you on the program a while ago, and I was like, what could Ed Werder have possibly written or said or anything like that to have the press conference start off like that?
Yeah, I don't know because I don't regularly cover college football. This was my first college game day assignment in, as you said, 26 years at ESPN. I've covered really pro football almost exclusively. And, of course, I have a pre-existing relationship with Dion because I covered him when he was an NFL Hall of Fame player and pretty closely when he was with the Dallas Cowboys for several years and helped them win the third Super Bowl. So I do know Dion. I tried to reach out to him to get some time with him in advance of the game and really never heard back. And ultimately, Troy Aikman, his former Cowboys teammate, did a sit-down interview with him and absolved me of that responsibility. But I didn't really, you know, people were asking me, some Colorado people who were on the sidelines pregame, were asking me sort of, oh, you know, Dion, what's your relationship with him? And I said, well, I've had good and bad, and I really don't know, quite honestly, where I stand. I don't know how we left it. And I guess I found out afterward that it wasn't so great. But I did not expect, when I tried to ask a question, that he was going to turn the whole press conference on me. And it was not a comfortable situation to be in. And like I told Dan Patrick yesterday, it just did not seem journalistically appropriate in that situation for me to meet his demand and tell him, yes, I believe in you, Dion, whether I do or I don't. You know, and interacting with him, as I mentioned, as often as I have, I just couldn't imagine he thought that I was going to commit to a position, either position, because it would have been unprofessional to do so.
Well, I applaud you for standing your ground too. I don't know how a lot of people would have reacted in that situation, and you stood your ground and didn't say one way or the other because you are, like you said, you have that journalistic integrity. You're not there to root for the Buffs. You're not there to believe, even if you do or don't. I think you've said that before. That's not your mission at that point in time. So I applaud you for standing your ground on that.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I mean, I just didn't know what else to do. I was really sort of, you don't prepare for that. I mean, you just react in the moment. And in reflection, I'm certainly happy I reacted in the way that I did. I wasn't, you know, going to swear allegiance to Dion to get him to answer my question, which I never got out, quite honestly.
Yeah, I was going
to
ask you what your question was.
It wasn't going to be anything too hard. My question really in the moment was, and I think there have been five or six other inquiries at that point that he had responded to without incident. My question was really going to be, of all the incredible things that happened to you today and for your football program, what's the most meaningful thing to you? That's all I wanted to know. And instead it became a larger than life situation. And, you know, I don't know what prompted it. You know, Dan Patrick, when I talked to him yesterday, he speculated that he was maybe reacting more to ESPN in general than he was to me. Other people have cited a tweet I posted back in March. I'm active on social media. And because of my history in Colorado, growing up in Longmont, going to high school there. I applied to CU, got accepted to CU, chose to go to Northern Colorado, graduated from there, worked at the Boulder Daily Camera for 5 years, did some Colorado football games when Bill McCartney was there. So I did tweet, Colorado's celebrity football coach has made CU Buffs football the most interesting program in the country. It's number two in merchandise sales. Folsom Field suites are sold out, and season ticket renewal rate is 97%. Deion Sanders has created attention before his first win. So some people have pointed to that as the reason that he was upset with me, citing in particular my reference to him as a celebrity coach. I don't see how that he would find that offensive. He is a celebrity without question. Go to Shields in Johnstown and look at the wall of merchandise that they're selling with Prime logos, Colorado Buffs logos, Deion Sanders, slogans. It was not meant in a negative context, and I think he'd be more offended if I didn't think he was a celebrity.
Yeah, that's what, because I read that tweet too, Ed, and I was like, I mean, those are facts. If he doesn't like being called a celebrity, that's how he presents himself. We all know who he is, whether you watched him play football in the 90s or not. We all know the name, Deion Sanders or Primetime. Everybody does, regardless of the age. So if that's the thing, because, yeah, you referenced it and said, I read the bull junk that you wrote. And I'm like, well, what did you write?
And he said, I sifted through all that. I just there were voluminous amounts of it, when the reality is I haven't been a writer for more than 25 years.
Ed, so this is what's interesting to me, and again, Ed Werder joining us with ESPN, covered the game on Saturday between CU and TCU. My poll question today is this, is Coach Prime good for college football?
Yeah, I think he's great for college football. I think the ratings for their performance at TCU reflect that. He's able to command national television attention, as we saw in the aftermath of that game. I mean, look at the people that did sit-downs with him. Aaron Andrews, who covers, NFL, did a sit-down with him. Like I said, Troy Aikman did a sit-down with him for ESPN. He was on the Pat McAfee show. He's on everything. And he can get on everything because he's that interesting a personality. He always has something to say. And then you combine that with the, new age approach he's taken in terms of the transfer portal and completely rebuilding, the Colorado program almost overnight. I think he's fascinating. I think he's good for college football. I asked, I sat in Sonny Dykes' office preparing for the game, and he said that Deion Sanders is great, for college football. And he said, Colorado made a bold hire, and Deion's done some bold things, and we'll see how it all turns out. But yeah, I think there's no question Deion Sanders is great for college football. I think he's already proven that. I think the reaction to them winning a single game has been, far beyond what it should be. I mean, it's not like he won a national championship. He won a game on the road. I know it was a historic performance for Colorado and should be celebrated as such, but it's one game. But yeah, I think he's great for college football.
And I agree with you. Most facets in looking at it, yes, he's great. He's entertaining. He's getting recruits. All this stuff is great. And, winning football games and maybe going to bring this Buffs. And I think the way Colorado goes, if the Buffs are good, that's good for the rest of the state as far as college football. But, Ed, are there some things, though, what you experienced? I know our friend Brian Howell, who writes at the Daily Camera for Buff Zone, he got called out a few weeks ago as well. Is that the portion, though, that might be considered bad for college football, where now if you write something in a negative light, are you going to get called out for by him in a press conference in front of your peers, therefore leading folks to maybe not want to write anything negative about the Buffs, even if they lose a game?
Well, I just think that, if you're a professional journalist and you're in the situation I'm in, or the one you refer to, you just can't be intimidated by somebody, and you still have to write the story the right way. And unfortunately, Deion turned the whole thing with his postgame antics into more about Deion, and even though it distracted from the record-setting performance of his own son, Shador, the starting quarterback at Colorado, who threw for a record 510 yards. But I think Deion's talked about you know, his part of his job is to prepare his players for the next level, those who have that kind of ability. And I think he'll certainly meet that obligation to prepare them to be, you know, good citizens, good productive citizens. I think he'll do that. As for, you know, Colorado fans, I think this is something different for them, and you can see the desperation to win. I think the school's done a lot to accommodate him that they haven't some of his predecessors. And Colorado people, some are going to roll their eyes sometimes at what he does in situations like what we're talking about right now. I mean, shouldn't we be talking about what a great performance had on the field?
Yeah.
Can they follow it up instead? It's almost none of that. And that's just part of having Deion in the program. And I think the interesting thing will be if he doesn't win, and he can't sustain this, you know, how do the more traditionalist among the Board of Regents and so forth, how do they view this kind of conduct or this kind of personality leading their football program?
Well, that's what was troublesome for me. And again, not to promote you too much, Ed, but there's just a lot of people that respect the heck out of you. So if it's like Ed Werder's getting called out for pretty much nothing, that I don't think is a good look. Ultimately, he's popular, though. He's going to get the recruits. They're probably going to win quite a few games during his time there, it looks like, if we're basing it off of what we saw against TCU. But I just think that's kind of the dangerous part of it is how we're going to handle the negative side, because we always see this with college football coaches. Yeah, sometimes guys blow up and they just kind of lose it, whatever. But for the most part, there is kind of an unwritten rule of how to handle those press conferences.
Coaches get away with almost everything if they win.
That's true.
And I think over time, Deion is going to win. I don't know how big he's going to win this year. He certainly, you know, created a great opportunity for having a successful first season at Colorado. Clearly they have better players than they've had in the past, and they are going to get consistent attention. It'll be interesting to see what happens when they go up against, you know, USC in a few weeks. It's going to be interesting to see what happens Saturday against Nebraska, who, you know, they have a former NFL head coach in Matt Rhule coming into Boulder. But, I mean, Boulder's such a spectacular place. You combine that with how can Deion not get great players to Boulder? I mean, I always wondered when I worked at the Boulder Daily Camp, how does Oklahoma and Nebraska out-recruit Colorado? Have you been to this campus? It's one of the most beautiful campuses in the entire country. You combine that with Deion's magnetic personality and the way he engages with these kids, he's going to get great players, and he's going to win a lot of games, assuming he stays a long time.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree. I think they're going to find a way to bring some success into Boulder. Ed Werder joining us. We'll let you go soon here, Ed. Are you doing? You're back on the NFL beat this week, right? With the Cowboys and the Giants, right?
Well, this week I'm actually covering the game tomorrow night in Kansas City. Got here yesterday.
Awesome.
A lot going on with this game as the Chiefs try to open defense of their Super Bowl championship. Might have to do it without two of their three best players, Travis Kelce hyperextending his knee yesterday. Kind of sounds like it's not a real serious injury. And if it comes down to pain tolerance and functionality, I think he'll probably play. And then obviously their best defensive player, Chris Jones, has been engaged in a long holdout here. And so he has a $1 million decision to make tomorrow night as to whether he's going to continue that or he's going to try and make himself available to play. And they're opening against the Lions. So I'm actually covering the first NFL game of the season. The Lions are playing four primetime games, starting with the very first game in the league, which is unique for them.
Ed, don't you? I mean, you got to just love all the storylines. They're just always there. I mean, you look at tomorrow night's game. Do the Chiefs have some injuries that are going in and some holdout situations? The Lions suddenly are America's sweetheart. It's never ending for you, Ed, and you do such a great job of painting that picture for us watching the NFL each and every week.
Yeah, they do keep it interesting at all times. And you're right, I do live in Dallas primarily, so I have been covering the Cowboys for most of 30 years, and win or lose, as long as they don't go 5-11 three straight years like they did under Dave Campo, ESPN is as fascinated in the machinations of the Cowboys as Jerry Jones is. So they get a lot of attention, and they create a lot of opportunities for me to do some reporting on a big stage.
Well, Ed, so much respect for you. Last second question here for you. Do you believe the Broncos are going to be a playoff team this year? What do you think of all the Sean Payton stuff with Russell Wilson?
Look, I think Sean Payton's one of the best coaches I've covered in 30 years. He really knows how to create a culture He's the perfect hire for Russell Wilson. That's his presence and his proven ability with a smaller quarterback like Drew Brees is the very reason that when Russell Wilson was thinking about getting traded out of Seattle, he listed New Orleans as one of the teams he was willing to go to. That's when Sean Payton was still there as a coach. You know, I've talked to Drew Brees about what kind of fit he is for Denver, what kind of fit he is for Russell Wilson. And Drew Brees believes that Russell Wilson now, his best years are going to be coming forward, which is quite a statement, given that Russell Wilson's been to two Super Bowls, nearly won both, did win one of them. If his best years are ahead of him because of Sean Payton and what he's going to create for him in Denver, then, yeah, I think they're going to contend for the playoffs as soon as this year. The problem is the division.
Sure.
You got to beat the Chiefs. I think the Chargers are one of the most talented teams in all of football. And I think, you know, they could surprise some people. They made the playoffs last year and got eliminated by the Jaguars in a huge comeback by the Jaguars. But if that team stays healthy, they have as much talent as anybody in football. So that's the challenge for the Broncos is within their own division. And they've got long losing streaks against almost all of these teams. I mean, total futility within the division. I think that will change under Sean Payton.
Yeah, it should be an exciting season for everybody, for those Buffaloes, for the Broncos. Ed, I didn't mean to ask if you believed if the Broncos were going to.
Did you use that word? I don't believe in anything. I don't know what I believe anymore.
Ed, so much respect for you, my friend. I know when we promoted you were coming on, so many people in this area were pumped for so many reasons, but obviously you being a UNC grad, it's really cool to see what you've accomplished in your career. Not many better, my friend. So thank you so much. And you just keep doing your thing because that's what's working.
Hey, thanks, Brady. I appreciate the offer to be on and enjoy talking with you as always.
All right, my friend. Ed Werder, long time ESPN reporter covering the NFL. He's going on his 26th year. Interesting stuff from him. And he doesn't write. You know, so primetime calling him out and saying, I read that bull junk that you read. He called him a celebrity coach. Is that, I mean, Brian Howell was on with us yesterday and said he thought maybe that's what it was that he just called him a celebrity coach.
Well, I was going just through the comments on that post, and someone was like, you wouldn't call Nick Saban or Kirby Smart a celebrity coach.
They're not celebrity coaches.
Because they're not.
That's Nick Saban is famous for doing what?
Coaching.
That's it, right? Primetime was a baseball player, a professional baseball player, a professional football player at a high level, Hall of Fame level football player, Hall of Famer, I should say. Sang a song, has a song out there. You can go Google that, go find that. He was on ESPN forever. He was on big time television forever. He was with Barstool Media for a couple of years, I think, signed with them. Yes, he is a celebrity. Is Peyton Manning a celebrity?
He is now.
Yeah, he's a celebrity. There's nothing wrong with that.
If he came back and started coaching,
you'd say
he's a celebrity coach.
He is also a celebrity coach. No question about it. I don't think
Deion Sanders needs these random fans on Twitter to come out and defend him either.
But it's nothing to defend. That's the thing. Like Brian Howell's tweet was nothing.
It's always been nothing.
Ed Werder's was nothing. I mean,
wait until
something happens. Wait until there's controversy, losing a game or something off the field might happen. Again, when you have a football team of 80 plus student athletes, there are times where maybe a student athlete does something. Speeds, for example, gets a speeding ticket. What's going to happen when something negative comes out? Because nothing that we've talked about with Howell or Ed Werder has been negative.
Well, there can be nothing negative with them. There is nothing negative with them. It's always positive, sunshine, rainbows.
And Ed's right. We should be talking about Shador. That game Saturday, Angel, might be one of the biggest games in CU history. And I know they have a share of a national championship, but that game, for everything that went into it, the stats, the quarterback play, the two-way player and Travis Hunter, so many monster things happen in that game. Instead, it becomes a little bit about Ed Werder and some kind of beef that primetime has with him. That's crazy to me.
Well, there's almost no Ed Werder defenders out there. They're very rare to find. Because it's anything that this guy says is just perfect. It's beautiful what he says.
Mm-hmm.
Some things, yeah, I can agree with. The hype up, the players, the way he interacts with them, that's cool. That's great. I like to see that.
Yep.
But it's the other stuff where he just steps over the line too much. It's like, you don't need to say that. I get if it's trying to motivate yourself or the team. And
this
like,
is the receipts.
Is he spending hours of every day reading
articles?
He's got
articles? A Rolodex of receipts he's keeping. I don't like that because that's a fan thing. I'm seeing all the, again, Denver people, Boulder people are like, we're keeping the receipts. It's sports.
Well, we've talked about, can he separate Deion Sanders from Prime? Even when he's in a coaching sense in a press conference where he wants to be Prime, but maybe you need to be Coach Sanders for a second and just start off your press conference with, hey, guys, man, that was fun, wasn't it?
Or being general about it. Like, hey, I know a lot of you guys out there in this room didn't believe in us, but hey, maybe you'll start believing now.
Is that what he needs to hear? A room full of reporters say, I believe in you, Deion Sanders.
I'm glad that Ed stood his ground. That's a tough. How do you prepare for that? Let's read some text coming back on the other side. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Ed Werder, that was sensational. Appreciate him giving us some time. He will be on the coverage for tomorrow's game. I didn't realize that, but he'll be back at it for all things Chiefs and Lions. First regular season NFL game coming up tomorrow night. We'll have it here on KFKA. Don't go anywhere. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
New coach, new quarterback, new era. The UNC Bears play on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.